We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hello, everybody. Welcome into the NBA Front Office Show. Happy Monday. We've got a ton of things to talk about today. I will admit, I enjoyed Cinco de Mayo probably a little too much last night, but I am ready to be reinvigorated, to be enlivened by some NBA basketball discussion here. Keith, how are you doing? How are you feeling today?
I'm good. I didn't do any Cinco de Mayo festivities. This is today is our daughter's birthday, so we have a 14-year-old now here, and this is her birthday, and we're we did birthday weekend stuff around the NBA for me this weekend, and she is incredibly deep into F1, loves really? The world of F1 racing. And she was all about watching all of the race activities all weekend long. So she that was a perfect timing with her birthday weekend. So she had a great weekend, and we're now just back into the ground. We got 3 weeks of school left here in Florida. So we're just about done. So we're cranking right towards the summertime in more ways than one.
Well, happy birthday, Bella. And yeah, that's awesome. Sounds like you guys had a fun weekend. F1, that's crazy. Yeah, very cool.
She loves it.
Hey, you got to find your thing, right?
That's
thing. We've got obviously a ton of stuff to talk about with the NBA today. Lots of stuff on the list. And I guess we could start out in your neck of the woods. Klay Thompson, could he be going to Disney World? Well, to the Orlando Magic, and I would have to imagine you also go to, if you become a member of the Orlando Magic, do you have to go to Disney World?
Is that like a rite of passage? Most of the guys make at least one trip over at some point. It's only just down the road a piece. So yeah. I would assume they do.
I would assume that one of the perks of being on the team is that you get a season pass. I mean, Disney is the sponsor.
I mean, Disney is the jersey sponsor, so they may hook them up with that. It's funny. It's one of those things where it's like a celebrity getting a free meal at a restaurant. It's like they can afford the meal.
Exactly.
Why do they need it free? But yeah, it wouldn't surprise me if that's the way. I think it's probably one of those things where especially if you're Klay Thompson's level, you could probably just make a phone call and say hey, I want to come. If you're a two-way player, it's probably not as much of a thing, because you're not going to need the private host to walk you around and all that stuff and get you in the back entrances. But Klay Thompson, yeah, he probably would. But I want to say this. I don't buy this reporting. I don't think the Magic are going to – I don't think they're going to do anything towards signing Klay Thompson. Okay. I don't think everybody has gone to they need more shooting, and that is true. But – they also need shooting that can do something off the dribble, and that's not Klay anymore. He can't do that anymore. He's basically now a spot up shooter or a catch and shoot guy who's more of a 3-4 on defense at this point in his career. He can't really guard twos all that well. Certainly can't stay in front of ones the way he used to. So I don't know. I'm not there with this one. I know it's been widely reported and put out there. It just doesn't seem like the kind of move the Magic would make.
Okay. So then we always go to who benefits, right? Why would something like this get out? Is this Clay, his agent, trying to put some pressure on the Warriors? Like, hey, you know, if we don't get something done, there's another team out there. And I think Orlando is going to act as kind of the boogeyman for any free agent this year, this summer as well. Orlando might be interested, right? Because they're a team that's got a lot of cap space. Is that all that's happening here? This is Clay, his agent, whoever, trying to put this out there so that the Warriors feel more pressure to give him the deal that he wants. Is that the strategy right here that we're seeing play out?
It could be. I think this one may just be more of like I like to call informed speculation, which is, uh-huh. Oh, the Magic need shooting. Clay's a shooter. Okay. Like that makes sense.
Two and two together.
Like, Orlando should be interested. And then that turns into Orlando is interested. I will also say this. The Magic have been a pretty buttoned up organization. They have not put a lot of stuff out there. They don't do a lot through the media. Now, some will say it's because they haven't done a lot, period. But if we go back to the Paolo Banchero stuff, that whole day was, you know, Orlando's off Paolo. They're deciding between Jabari Smith Jr. and Chet Holmgren with the number one pick. And then it was, what, hours before the draft, it was like, actually, we think they're going to take Paolo Banchero.
That was insane. And
so we'll, you know, I don't think we're in a spot with the Magic where you're going to get a whole lot of intel that you can even kind of link back to the team. I think it's a lot of people are going to look at, okay, this is what they need, which is shooting, scoring, creation. Like that was plainly evident in their first round series loss to the Cleveland Cavaliers. But who they're targeting for that stuff, I think you're not going to find that out. There's no more whiteboard pictures going on here in Orlando. No, here's all their potential targets. Those days are done. Right. So, yeah, I think the Clay one just, it doesn't make sense for a whole lot of reasons. It could happen. It wouldn't be the worst idea in the world. I just don't think it's going to be the way they go.
Okay, so we're gonna talk about another option for them in just a moment. By the way, great season for Orlando. Yes. And unfortunately, Game 7 doesn't go their way, Game 7s tend to not go the road team's way. And Cleveland did a great job coming back in the second half in that game. And of course, we can talk more about that game in a bit. But Orlando, we know they need shooting. We know they need a two. If the Paul Georges of the world aren't there, Malik Monk isn't there, if they're not interested in D'Angelo Russell, whoever else is out there, I could see a situation where throwing a big, remember we say this a lot, it's the years, not the dollar amount, it's the years. If all else fails, throw a bunch of money at Klay Thompson for a year to give you that little bit of a boost, and then you preserve cap space into the future because it's a one-year deal, or even if you did a two-year deal with the team option or something like that, and then you can kick the can down the road while still adding the help that you need. And who cares if you don't have anybody else to spend the money on? Who cares if you give Klay Thompson $30 million or whatever for one season, right? Or whatever it's going to be. That's the scenario I could see for the Magic where going after Klay Thompson would make sense. Now, a three-year, $100 million deal for Klay? No, I don't think that makes sense for them. But all else fails, a one-year deal, and you preserve cap space into the future? I have no issues with something like that.
Yeah, I have no problem with that at all. I think it's a very viable strategy for them. I think in that case, Klay would probably rather just re-up with the Warriors and play it out year to year with the Warriors. I don't think he leaves Golden State. Personally, I actually just posted this afternoon, wrote about the Warriors offseason, and a large chunk of it obviously was focused on what happens with Klay. And my mm-hmm. basic point that I made there is you can't bring him back at anything approaching his current salary. You have to basically cut it in half, somewhere in the range of 20 to 22 million. That will allow you to, one, even if some people be like, that's still too much, that's okay, because then you're acknowledging this is what he's meant. You're kind of paying him for his past performance there, while also acknowledging he's not done as a player. He averaged 18 points per game and shot almost 40% from three. Like, it's the whole Klay is completely washed stuff went way too mm-hmm. far based on a handful of rough games towards the end of the year. So
yes,
I'm of the opinion of just the Warriors probably keep him and keep him around. But yeah, if you're the Magic, to your point, if you strike out on long-term targets. And if there's not a trade to be made, because let's, you know, acknowledge that too, you can always use your cap space to aid in making a trade. If that doesn't appear, yeah, re-up, you know, or not re-up, but go sign guys to 1 year overpays or like a 1+1 with an overpay, meaning the really probably better termed a 1-1 with a non-guarantee or a team option on that second year. Do something like that and kind of move your franchise forward, because they clearly need help. The offense was not good enough. Even if they beat Cleveland, they were not going to do anything positive against Celtics just because they weren't going to be able to score enough points. Like they have to get better offensively in order to get there. So how they do that, I believe
they will.
We'll see. But what's that?
I believe they will. I think the future looks very bright in Orlando. I think they're going to. I think they're going to find somebody. They're going to get it. I don't know. I agree. I don't know that it's Clay. If it is, it needs to be a short-term thing. And I agree. I think that if it is going to be a short-term deal for Clay, does he say, well, okay, I'd rather take $20 million from Golden State than $30 million from Orlando, and at least I can finish out the career. And maybe not. Yeah. Maybe he says, hey, I'd rather have the extra $10 million. I'm going to Orlando. Sure. But I would think that the draw would be for him to just to stay with Golden State and finish his career there, ideally. But that's not the only option. The Magic, as well as the 76ers, rumored to be interested in Paul George. Now, curiously, there's still no deal done for Paul George and the Clippers. The Clippers, they are all in. They want to keep this team. They're moving into a new arena next year. They got bounced out of the playoffs by the Dallas Mavericks. Kawhi Leonard once again experiencing injuries. Paul George now 34 years old. But if the Clippers, whatever it is that Paul George wants, and it may be a full max, because Kawhi didn't get the full max. Maybe Paul George does want that. Whatever it is the Clippers won't give Paul George, someone else will. So if the Clippers ultimately, and I don't think it'll come to this, I think the Clippers ultimately will come to an agreement with Paul George. But if there is an opening here for another team to come in and get Paul George to sign in free agency, the 76ers, I've said, is a great landing spot for him as well. Somebody else will give him what he wants. And I think he knows that, and he's going to use that to his advantage until the bluff gets called. If it is a bluff at all, maybe he will leave, but I think he'd be a great fit in Orlando. I also think he'd be a great fit with the 76ers. The only concern for me for Orlando is the age piece of this, because he can't really be part of this core for the next, you know, 6, 7, 8 years or whatever, like most of these other guys can.
Yeah, I think we overblow the whole timelines lining up stuff too much. Because what do we say with a young team, right? Well, what now they really need is that veteran to put them over the top, right? Like, we eventually get there. It's in the idea of having a bunch of guys who are all within a year or two of each other. Sounds great until you need to pay everybody. Then it's like, oh, crap. Like, how do we do this, right? Assuming they all get to the level we think they'll get to. So that becomes a challenge. So I think he makes a lot more sense for the Magic, because he can create off the dribble. He can shoot. He can do things with and without the ball. And that's what they need. They need somebody else who can just make life easier for Paolo Banchero, primarily move Jalen Suggs into more of a complementary role and less of an on-ball role that he had to play. And then hopefully bump Franz Wagner into being a number three. I think if Franz Wagner is your number three, you're feeling pretty good. Right? Yeah. About where things are. If Franz Wagner is like your high-end number two, I feel your ceiling's probably what we saw this year. You're a threat to make the second round, but are you going beyond that? I'm not sure. So I think he makes sense there. But I think the Clippers get this done in the end, because I think the Clippers will look at it and say, well, Kawhi does not seem like the guy's going to be like, well, wait a minute, you gave Paul George more than me. Like, now I'm going to be a problem. I think Kawhi's like, hey, I signed me. I took care of myself. I don't care. And then what I think happens with Paul George is it becomes a situation of he needs specific things to feel good about returning to the Clippers, whether that's the length of a 4-year deal, or whether that is I need more money in a 3-year deal, whatever it may be, or he wants a full 4-year max. I don't know. We'll see if that's where it is. Here's my worry with Philly for Paul George.
Yeah.
That's now two guys. I don't know if they're going to be there in April, May, and June. I'd be pretty nervous about locking in, because you're going to give, let's say Philly's in the spot where they've got about 61-ish million in cap space. You're going to give Paul George basically 49 million of that. Leaves you with 12 million in cap space plus the $8 million room exception. Okay, you can still play, right? You're still going to get a couple more guys with that, but you're still a very, very top-heavy team. I would maybe look to either a younger, more established guy, which you're going to have to get via trade. You're not going to be able to sign anybody like that. There's not a free agent like that available. But look to somebody like that via trade. If I can't get that, then I'm thinking, let's spread the wealth around a little bit. Let's go really fill out a roster, because you have your two top-end guys. If they're there, if Embiid's there and Maxey's there, you've got your two stars. I don't know that I'm all in on the let's go three stars and then minimal amount of depth around that. I'm just not sure that's where it is. And if you do that, you can't have two of the three, because you're worried about being there when the games matter most in the playoffs. That part, that's where it all kind of falls apart, like we've kind of seen with the Clippers.
That said, and I agree with you, that's not ideal, but kind of like what you're saying with Orlando, right? With the age thing, where it's the age matters to an extent. If you're looking for a veteran guy, preferably it's not a guy who's 34, right? You prefer a guy who's 31 or whatever to be your veteran piece that comes in, so you've got a little bit longer of a window. But again, if it's Paul George and he's 34 instead of 31, you're going to say, okay. I think the same thing applies here to the Philly situation with PG. Is it ideal that Paul George is a guy who's dealt with injuries over the course of his career? No, but what else are they going to do with the money? I think if Paul George tells Daryl Morey, hey, if you guys give me a max, I'll sign on. He's saying, here's a pen, right? Even sure, with the concerns that, you know, hey, maybe there's some injury issues, some things like that. Because ultimately, how do you go to Joel Embiid and say, well, you know what? Paul George wanted to play with you, but we decided that we were going to get this handful of role players instead, and that was going to be the better route. I think Embiid would be like, wait, what? Paul George wanted to play with me? Come on. So I think if the opportunity is there, Philly will take it, even if it's not ideal. Ideally, you'd like to use that max money on a guy who's bulletproof, a guy who's got the ability to play through anything and never gets hurt and all that kind of. I'm trying to think of who that Iron Man is right now in the NBA, but I think that's a situation where if it's there and you're Philly, you probably just take the risk because the upside is so high and the ability to have those three guys. In addition to, you probably do. Embiid took a big risk, right? With staying with saying, I'll believe in you. They've got to now produce this summer. If Paul George is on the table, I just don't see how you go back to Joel Embiid and say, well, Paul George wanted to come, but we said no.
I would go back to him and say, you're not the general manager. You don't make decisions for a reason, because if we did, why don't you then, if you want to do that, what we should have done was signed you for like 25 or 30 million and had a bunch of flexibility that way. You don't want to do that. We have to make the right decision for the team. And my point to him would be, then you have to promise us you'll be healthy at the end of the year. And that's obviously, he can't make that promise because he doesn't know. So that's where it just all kind of falls apart for me. I don't think in the NBA you can do the star model with injury risk players at the top of what you're building and get through the 82 game regular season with a good seed and then be healthy for the playoffs. I feel like if you're going super top heavy, you're kind of picking one or the other with mm-hmm. that. You're kind of picking, are we going to do the just get us to the playoffs thing where it doesn't matter if we're the 6, 7, 8 seed, we'll take care of business when we get there, or we're going to push for seed knowing it may cost us some guys, you know, by the time we get there, guys may be tired or hurt or whatever. I don't know that you can do both. I just don't think you can build a team that way. The way to do that is most of your team were guys you drafted or you made trades very early in your team building. Denver, Boston, some of the better teams, even Minnesota, right? Mostly guys they drafted for, or they kind of did their all-in trades for Gobert and Conley when they weren't quite there yet. And then you have to, then in addition, commit to, and we're now going to be wildly expensive for however long it is with the result of this run. That's where it gets tough. I mean, it's just, I don't know. I think the three-star teams are, I think those days are done. I think the other teams have just gotten too good. There's too many other good teams now. You're not trying to beat one or two other teams. You're trying to beat seven or eight other teams now each year for the title.
There's depth, and we certainly know if you go with the three-star build, you're pushing against the grain. You're going against what the NBA wants. The NBA is trying to get away from the three-star build. Maybe not overtly, maybe not publicly, but you look at the rules, the way they're set up now, you look at the new CBA, clearly they're trying to distribute talent more evenly across the league. We've talked about this. They look at the NFL and they say, we want that. We want that parity. And so there is some truth to that, that the three-star build is not what the NBA really wants to see. They don't want to see super teams, for better or worse, because let's face it, dynasties sell. Right? There's a lot of profit to have these dynasties. These are teams that viewers will tune in for. Will they tune in for parity? We'll see. The NBA is making that gamble that is going to work out for them.
And I think we'll still get. Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
Oh, I just think if Paul George is saying, "Hey, I'll come to the Sixers," I don't think they'll be able to say no. I just think they'll say yes, and I think they'll pursue him because it's the big splashy move. And I think Daryl Morey will think that he can round out a roster. But ultimately, I agree with you. If you are, the depth model seems to be what we are moving more towards: two stars and depth, and how you acquire that depth is going to matter quite a bit. Like, people ask me all the time about the Lakers. Well, what the hell? Why did other teams have two stars and they've got also all these guys that are making a bunch of money and they can still go get this player and that player? Well, it's because of it's the order of operations in terms of how you get everything done and how you build out the team. Yeah. That matters too. And I think those intricacies are going to become even more highlighted as we move further and further into this new CBA.
Yeah. To that point with the Lakers, and we're going to spend a lot of time talking about this, so I don't want to spend much time on it here now today, but that's why I'm nervous about the idea of Trae Young, Donovan Mitchell for them. I don't believe you're getting another mostly healthy season from LeBron and AD. Nothing tells me that's something I should believe in, not with where the prior seasons have been for especially AD, but also LeBron in the past couple of years. Beyond that, I just don't know that you're getting where they play, roughly 70 games or whatever it may work out to. Or if they do play 70 games, how are they going to, what are they going to look like when we get to the middle of April and the playoffs start? That's my worry. And that's where I would rather build out your depth. Now, they're going to be in weird positions because D'Angelo Russell, we've talked about it a little bit, has him over a barrel a little bit because he's kind of got a lot of leverage here on, which direction he wants to go. But we'll spend more time on that. But yeah, it's a fun conversation because it is a very much a fundamental team building conversation.
Yes.
Which at the end of the day, that's a lot of what this show was built on.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24/7 in our mobile banking app.
Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Mm-hmm. I love it. These are some of my favorite conversations just in the whole roster building theory, right, of the NBA. It's so much fun. And so, because there's so many different paths you can pick, and yep. and everybody's trying to get to the same place, but they can take so many different roads to get there. Anyway, we have plenty of time over the summer to talk about all this stuff, but let's get on to this. The Sixers, staying with the Sixers, they also could trade for Jimmy Butler. Like we talk about, cap space isn't just used for free agency. In fact, today you could argue it's primarily not used just for free agency. We're seeing more and more stars move via trade than actually signing a new deal with a new team. But the 76ers could be a team to trade for Jimmy Butler. I've talked about this a little bit, that my concern is, are you then required to give Jimmy a long-term max deal when you trade for him? That's where it could get a little bit messy. And I suppose you could say the same of Paul George, if you're required to give him that deal. But could they be a landing spot for Jimmy Butler? Sure. Could this also help Jimmy Butler get an extension done with the Miami Heat? Sure. Right? If it's hey, if you don't give me the extension I want, there's this other team over there that really wants me. That could be useful for Jimmy in that scenario. What do you think about a 76ers reunion for Jimmy Butler?
Yeah, it's this same kind of thing as Paul George. I worry about, is he going to be there in April, May, and June? He's been a guy who's been picking up injuries, missed the entirety of the playoffs this year with an injury. So, you know, where we at is, you know, he's older, just like Paul George. That's my worry with this. It is kind of funny, as we record this, Pat Riley and Daryl Morey, obviously separately, but they're both hosting their kind of end of season media sessions, yeah. Which is just kind of funny that we're talking about this topic right now. And I'm fairly certain we're not getting any news out of that. I would be shocked if, like,
they know what,
you
know, doing
simultaneously, you know, yeah, from different cities, we're like, we worked out a trade. But yeah, where this is coming from is,
sorry, Keith, but did you ever see, you know, the episode of The Office where Michael has created, we talk about The Office way too much in this show, but your ringtone is The Office's theme song. So
yeah, we don't talk about it.
Where Michael has started Michael Scott Paper Company.
Sure.
And he goes to try to steal Dwight's client, and he puts Dwight on speaker and makes him listen to his pitch the client. I'm just imagining, like, does Daryl Morey do that to Pat Riley or vice versa? Like, he's got him on FaceTime off to the side while he's doing his presser, and they're talking all about how he's going to land a big star, and it's all kind of an F you to Pat Riley, who's on the phone having to listen to this thing.
Right.
That would be fun. That would be fun.
That episode has one of the classic lines, because Dwight's stolen Michael's Rolodex, which Michael has like coded, and he comes in and he goes, so how is your gay son? And Michael says, I put gay son in green so I know to go ahead and not mention it. It's so funny.
Orange, you glad you didn't say it.
Right? Yeah. Yeah. And then he did, like, he gets to somewhere where it's either him or Pam says, like, most of the colors mean don't say it. Like, yeah. Like, it's just funny. So yeah.
Sorry. I sort of took us on a tangent there.
No, it's all good. Hey, we don't talk about The Office enough. We could talk about it more if we wanted. I'd be fine with that. So here's my thing for Philly. I've kind of said my piece there. For Miami, where this is all coming from is Jimmy Butler reportedly wants a max extension. And there's been no indications that Miami has said, nah, we're good. It's more, again, some speculation of, if the Heat say, I don't know about that, you know, where does that go? And then I think it is we do have a quote on it. Let's see what this quote is. This is from Wes Goldberg. Pat Riley on Jimmy Butler's extension. We don't have to do that for a year. We have not discussed that internally right now, but we have to look at making that kind of commitment. So that sounds like a little bit to me we know if we want to keep him, we probably need to do that. We'd rather wait, but maybe we need to do it now. So
I wonder if part of that too is, we don't have to do that for a year. So Jimmy, if we're going to do this for you now, what are you going to give us in order to get that done? But we also, and Pat Riley is great at this, but we also know we need to make that kind of a commitment. So, like, yes, we want to, but we also know we don't have to do this now. So if we do this now for you, we want to do this, can we make the final year a team option or whatever? You know, I'm just throwing that out there. That's interesting the way he phrased that.
Yeah, without a doubt. Yeah. So let's see, you know, what happens here. My guess is, like Paul George and the Clippers, this probably just gets done. Now, what I'm rooting for is none of these guys sign extensions and we have chaos all summer and there's a million moves, because that's, you know, that's what is, quite frankly, that's what's best for us in the show. But that's what makes for a really fun offseason, is when there's 9 million guys moving all around. But the logical part of my brain says this probably just gets done. These guys probably sign extensions and we move on with that. So we'll see. So it's going to be something. I'm going to guess we're probably going to talk about this no less than 20 more times between now and June 30th, when everything kind of kicks off.
Oh yeah, absolutely. For sure. Easy. We'll hit that. I would take the over. Jason Kidd, speaking of extensions, Jason Kidd gets an extension with the Mavs. See, the Lakers are just doing favors for everybody out there. All you got to do is say the Lakers are interested in hiring Keith. I'm going to put out there the Lakers are going to hire me to be their head coach. And that's going to get me some kind of extension with somebody somehow. Jason Kidd gets an extension. Ty Lue, the Clippers, as soon as the Lakers expressed interest, the Clippers went, oh, no, wait. We really want to sign him to an extension. It was funny. But it sounds like Ty Lue is going to get an extension with the Clippers. He did say he wants to be there long term. So both those guys will probably get those deals done. Jason Kidd's deal actually did get done. It's signed. And so he will be, and we don't know how many years it's for. At least I haven't seen that at this point.
We haven't, but nothing's come out yet.
Right. But he did get an extension done with the Mavs. So he'll be their coach for the foreseeable future. And then Ty Lue will probably get something done with the Clippers as well.
Yeah, it kind of just makes sense, right? The Clippers seem very intent on, we're going to run it back with this group at least year one in the new building. We're going to get after it, try to do everything we can with this group. And then with Jason Kidd, he's made the playoffs 2 of 3 years. In the middle year when they didn't make the playoffs, that wasn't really Jason Kidd, that was more organizational decision of, it's better off to keep our pick. Let's you know, let this thing kind of slide here. So, which in a lot of ways is, then that's even more reason to extend him, because to his own detriment, record wise, and all the things that'll get brought up, he executed the organizational vision of let's drop out. So yeah, I'm not surprised he got extended. It was very funny. Mavs fans seem very split down the middle. Some of them are like, God, no, why? And there were a lot of them seemed like, can we just play the second round first and see, you know, where it's at with that? So we're going to get in just back, for anybody wondering. We are going to spend a little bit of time talking about the remaining three playoff series and making our predictions later here in the show.
If you go back like a month and a half, maybe even less, I think there would be a lot more of the, oh, God knows, I'm all right with this, because the Mavs advanced, and maybe that's why they're doing it now, because the Mavs advanced through the first round. You've got more people who are like, well, okay. But there were a lot of Mavs fans who were not thrilled with Jason Kidd as their coach. Again, now that they made it through one round of the playoffs, I think that's brought some more optimism on the Mavs side of things. And I hope it works out. I hope it works out great for Dallas and for Jason Kidd. But there were a lot over the course of the season, there have been a lot of Mavs fans that were like, I don't know if Jason Kidd is the guy for us.
Yeah. Yeah. Which
is, it comes with the territory.
I can understand to an extent. Yeah.
All right. Last thing we've gotten. This is a real quick one. Lonzo Ball picks up his option as expected. Now, there was no doubt that he was going to. It's what, $20+ million for the season for Lonzo. He hasn't played in, is it 2.5 years now?
Yep.
Good Lord. But there is some optimism that he'll be able to come back this coming season. I hope he does. I want to see Lonzo. The NBA is more fun with Lonzo Ball out there on the floor. I hope he can get back to being himself and be out there for the Chicago Bulls. But he does pick up his player option, which was a complete no-brainer for him.
Yeah, and that Bulls team, they're not going to be a what if to the extent of, oh man, we're going to be discussing this 20 years from now. But of recent teams, it is a little bit of a fascinating what if, because they were playing so well with that team together. And we, them it just all kind of went sideways after Lonzo got hurt, and they've never regained where they were. Oh, so
Pat Riley says Jimmy Butler will not be made available via trade via Mark Stein.
Okay. Yeah. Well, all right. We'll see. It's May 6th. So
this is, if they said anything else than that, it would be shocking.
Yeah.
That's what you say in this situation, right?
Yeah. We're still almost 2 months from him being made available for trade. So we'll see. Let's just leave it that way. I tend to agree he probably won't be, but we'll see where it goes. All right, want to do a little second round real quick?
Yep, let's do it. Let's do it. Second round predictions. Let's start with the easy one. I expect your Celtics to steamroll through the Cavs. Could Donovan Mitchell get hot for a game or two and be the best player on the floor and win a game or two? Sure. But just to give the Cavs credit, I think, Keith, I think a lot of this too hinges upon the health of Jared Allen. And we don't know what that looks like with the rib issue. I'm going to say Jared Allen at Celtics in six. No Jared Allen at Celtics in five.
All right, give me the official pick.
Okay, I'm going to say Celtics in five. Let's put more pressure on the Celtics to get it done fast. I'm going to say Celtics in five.
I pick Celtics in five. I, you know, no offense to Jared Allen, I don't really care if he's there or not. People are going to say I'm being smudge. My smudgeness is showing here, but I just don't think they can score enough to keep up with Boston, even without Kristaps Porzingis. And Porzingis is expected to be unavailable for the duration of the series. We probably won't see him here, but I just don't know how they're going to score enough. They struggled to put up points. I mean, Donovan Mitchell had a 50 ball, and they didn't even get to 100 points. Like, that's not, there. Yeah. And as good as Jalen Suggs is, Boston has Drew Holiday and Derek White, and they could put Jaylen Brown on Donovan Mitchell if they want to, and they could ask Jason Tatum to guard him at times. Like, it's just like, it's going to be very hard for them, the Cavs, to score points. I think that's the big difference. I do think Mitchell probably gets hot for one game, leads them to at least one victory. Boston is, they also, let's face it, I can own it, they don't always play up to their full potential all the time. So, it'll be one loss. It'll be this whole day long thing of referendums about this is why they won't win a championship, and then they'll move on. But yeah, I don't know. I think the Celtics are going to make pretty quick work of them. So we're both Celtics in five.
All right, let's finish off the East. Then we'll do Knicks and Pacers. I think this is a really interesting styles clash here. Obviously Jalen Brunson, what he's been doing has been phenomenal. The Pacers, they can fly up and down the floor. I think Pascal Siakam makes a big difference in this series, particularly with no Julius Randle. Can Miles Turner pull the Knicks bigs out of the paint? Isaiah Hartenstein, Mitchell Robinson, can he pull them out of the paint and limit the Knicks rebound? They do have some dominance on the glass there, but I still think the Knicks, the incredible will that they play with, the pace that they play with, the energy, the intensity they play with, I think that's going to be tough for the Pacers to handle. I'm going to say Knicks in six.
We're making the same pick. I'm picking Knicks in six. I don't have a lot to add other than the Pacers have to get this series played on their terms. They have to get it played racing up and down the floor, challenging the Knicks to keep up with them. Like, that has to happen. Otherwise, we're going to see – if it gets played on the Knicks terms, it might be Knicks in four or five. Like, that's how good the Knicks are. So let's see. But yeah, I'm in the same boat as you, Knicks in six.
All right. So we already did our predictions for Denver and Minnesota. We did that last week. I believe you had Denver in six. I had Minnesota in six. Obviously, if
you had Minnesota in seven.
Oh, did I? I had Minnesota in seven. Okay.
Yep.
Even better. Because if game one is any indication, this is going to be a phenomenal series.
What a great game that was.
I hope we get seven games out of this one, because good Lord, that was so much fun. Game one was, but let's talk Mavs Thunder. Really interesting matchup here. Luka against SGA. I question when Lou Dort is, let's say Lou Dort is on Luka. Okay. Who's defending Kyrie to a high enough level, and vice versa. If Lou Dort is on Kyrie, can Luka then get going? That's going to be an interesting game of whack-a-mole, I think, for the Thunder. Not having Maxi Kleba for the Mavs, who's dealing with an injury, that hurts Dallas quite a bit. But I still, as much as I want to believe in the Thunder, We've seen what happens to young teams. I know they're telling everybody we're not going to be that young team. We can still win and all that. And I want to buy in. I just think at the end of the day, Luka and Kyrie are too good. I'm going to go Mavs in six.
All right. So, in just to remind everybody, Mavs were your title pick. You picked Mavs over Celtics in the NBA Finals when the playoffs were getting started, as we did our title picks. So that's you're rolling with your Mavs. Just as you said, who guards Luka? Who guards Kyrie? Who guards Shai Gilgeous-Alexander?
Fair.
Like, who? Their best options are probably Josh Green or Dante Exum, who both come off the bench. I think one of those two guys will be starting before the end of this series, specifically to guard SGA. It may need to be Kyrie. Maybe if they open with the lineup they've been playing, maybe they put Derrick Jones Jr. on him to open the game, kind of start there. I would expect Luka will be guarding Josh Giddey, which is really floating off of Josh Giddey and just being a helper, messing things up in the passing lanes and the like with that. But this is going to be a fun series. A lot of cross matches, I think, in this series. There's a world where I think the Thunder put Jalen Williams on Luka too, and maybe Dort on Kyrie. Maybe SGA is a really good defender himself, but he's also a very good help defender. So it may be, hey, you're going to guard Derrick Jones Jr., but really float off him and be in help position and all the things that he does really well. I think calling out Kleba missing was a good point by you, because now they don't have that big option to pull Holmgren away from the paint unless they go super small and go to like PJ Washington at the five. That has not generally worked out for the Hornets in the past when he played there. I don't know that that's something the Mavs are going to really want to go to, because they do still have Derek Lively. They have Dwight Powell. They have other center options they can go to along with Daniel Gafford. So they're probably just going to play it that way. But I think this is going to be a really fun back and forth series, probably with a lot more offense than I think people are thinking about, given the two teams. I wish Luka was coming in like fully 100% healthy. Clearly he wasn't moving great at the end, but I don't know how much that hurts Luka per se, because he's not like a guy who's ever blowing by anybody, right? He's always just kind of getting to his spots and doing his thing there. So I think this is going to be a great series. I am going to go.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
I'm going to go Mavs in seven. I feel like the Mavs will get the win, so I'm going to go Mavs in seven.
Okay. But, I mean, it could be very, very close. As we're just getting news right now, Rudy Gobert, for personal reasons, is now questionable tonight against Denver. Oh, my goodness. Oh, first of all, huge difference. Hopefully everything is okay. I think Denver's going to win tonight regardless, but hopefully everything is okay. Whenever you see the personal designation, you always, you know, hopefully everything's all right with him and his family and all that. But that could be huge news for that series. By the way, how weird is it that we're getting Nuggets Wolves game two before even getting game one in the Mavs Thunder series and everything? Like,
everything got screwed up. There's no West Coast team left. The furthest West team is the Nuggets, and they're a mountain time zone.
Uh-huh.
So like that's kind of screwed up all of the stuff. Now, as an East Coaster, I am perfectly fine with a 10 o'clock being the latest start time we're going to get in any one of these series. Like, I think that's great, you know, because that means I'll get to bed before hopefully 2 a.m. But yeah, weird, situation. What's that?
Like normally a late start for you would be 10:30, right? Because that would be a 7:30 Pacific time.
Huge difference.
Okay.
There's just something between games ending at 12:30 or ending at 1.
You're not a night owl like I am, though. No. So I get it.
God, I hate it. I should move to I should move to Hawaii, honestly, where like games are on at like 1 p.m. and then my day's over by like 7:30 at night, and I can just move on. Like that would be ideal. Yeah, I've never been. I think 20 plus years of doing other jobs and getting up at 5 a.m. I'm up every day by 6:30 at the latest. Every once in a while, when I'm like super wiped out, I'll sleep in till like 8 or 8:30. But yeah, I'm already like kind of excited that we recorded it slightly earlier than usual because I could take a nap, like because then that'll let me get through the 2 games tonight. Yeah, I'm not a night owl at all.
I have always been wired in, and over on the YouTube channel, you guys can let us know in the comments. Are you more of are you like Keith, where you're an early riser, or you're a night owl like me? Ever since I was a little kid, my parents called me the Johnny Carson kid because that's how old I am. But because I was always still awake when Johnny Carson was on, like going to bed early was just never a thing. I've always been wired that way. When it was summertime and I was out of school, whether I was a teacher or a student, I would automatically like just default to going to bed at like 2 a.m. and just that just seems to be how I'm wired for whatever reason. I definitely stay up later. But anyway, one of the reasons for you to go move.
I love the idea that the free agency now starts at 6 o'clock instead of midnight. Like, I do miss, though, midnight was when you knew who the true like sickos like us were.
That, people
like,
are up with their energy drinks and coffee. And,
like that was like, I'm moving in. So yeah, I do miss that part a little bit. But I also like that it starts a little earlier because that allows us to do the late night free agency show.
Right.
Without having that late night free agency show being as the sun's coming up.
I think our analysis too is better because it's not the middle of the night and we're light going off and no sleep. And we're
plenty punchy, but that usually is like night 2 or 3, like we're starting to drift a little bit there. But yeah, that's just a way to tell people subscribe, be here when we start the free agency show. We love that. It's, that first night, June 30th into July 1st, probably 11 midnight, sometime at that time, we'll be wrapping up everything that happened in day one of free agency and catching up on everything. It's a lot of fun. We have a great time. And we generally do it live too. So that way you get to really see us, on a lack, or especially me on a lack of sleep in a time when I generally don't like to be awake. So it's
a good time.
Yeah. We have a blast.
All right, everybody, make sure you do subscribe to the channel. Don't forget to go check out the Basketball Bulletin as well, basketballbulletin.substack.com. Tons of stuff going out there. New stuff, I mean, basically every day. Tristan Da Silva, there's a scouting report out there on him. Jalen Tyson is out there. We've got breakdowns from the Cavs and Magic.
First mock draft that he did. Right, we both took part in, which was a lot of fun. He had a bunch of experts. He's going to do another one, I believe, this week or soon, where it's going to be just his his thoughts on it. So he'll continue to do those. I think he might be waiting until the draft lottery is, which is next Sunday, gets done, and then he'll actually know the real draft order, which is when mock drafts get more serious, because it's all right, we actually know who's picking where and you can start doing all that stuff. I'll have keys to these to the remaining 3 second-round series. Those will go up at some point ahead of Knicks Pacers. So anybody who wants to read that, I'm going to do the, just I'll put it out there for anybody watching. I'm going to do the Celtics Cavaliers as a free preview for anybody, and then Knicks Pacers and Mavericks and Thunder will be the other two. You'll have to subscribe if you want to see the other two, but I'll throw a bone to the Celtics people that show me so much love over the years. Celtics fans, we'll give you those ones for free. The other two will be there, but sign up and join in because you'll get a ton of stuff. I will say this: if you sign up and read through Bryce's stuff, you're going to be like able to impress your friends at the draft when you're like, oh yeah, this guy who got picked, you know, midway through the first round. Like, yeah, I know about that guy. Cause then people are gonna be like, I have never even heard of whoever this is. You're gonna be like, oh yeah, you know, this is what he does well. So just, you know, make a little cheat sheet off his notes or have it on your phone and pull it up, like, you know, look at it, you know, very slyly, and you can be out there impressing everybody, because Bryce has done great work covering and breaking down this draft.
Phenomenal stuff. And when we say, you know, pay for a subscription, we want as many people to be able to subscribe as possible. So we literally made it as cheap as Substack will allow us to make. Like, we cannot make it any cheaper. So make sure you guys check it out. Again, basketballbulletin.substack.com. Go check it out. I'll put the link in the description. I think that about does it for today. Thank you, everybody, for joining us. Till tomorrow, see ya, and stay safe.